Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. And welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to extend a very special welcome to each and every one of you, and especially to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you will feel welcomed here at Main Street, and if you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. If you will give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if members and visitors alike would please now pass those attendance registers and register your attendance this morning. Reminder that this afternoon is the Family Bike Fellowship beginning at Mount Lebanon Church on Highway 34 near 96. Starts at 2 o'clock and will be from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Reverend Dennis says that he is convinced this is going to go on unless it is absolutely pouring rain. So just a little drizzle is not going to stop it. So everyone, please plan on attending that at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Mount Lebanon Church. Also, next Sunday at 10 o'clock, there will be another opportunity for training under the Safe Sanctuaries program. If you are a parent with a youth or child, you need to go through that training process. Also, all of those individuals who are volunteering to work with children or youth need to go through that training process, whether you be teaching Sunday school or chaperoning trips. But there will be another training session next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. in the fellowship hall. Reminder also that our Wednesday gathering series continues this week, and please contact the church office to make reservations or fill out one of the cards in the pew rack. Also, put November the 3rd on your calendar. Save that date. That is a Saturday. It will be our second annual Fall Craft and Handiwork Bazaar. That will be from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So save that date and plan on attending the second annual Fall Craft and Handiwork Bazaar. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Almighty God, from the ends of the earth you have gathered us around Christ's holy table. We come to feast together. Have mercy on your church, troubled and divided. Renew us and make us one. Amen.
Thank you. As they continue to bring our flags in representing all the nations of the earth, I'll ask you to please be seated. And join me in our invocation. O God, we join with our sisters and brothers around the world and remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, for the opportunity to eat and drink together, and for the life we have received, we give thanks and praise. In the abundance of your many gifts, redeem, restore, and remold us until we are made new. Transform our daily bread into the bread of life, and the cup that we drink into the cup of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do thank all our children for the participation, for the wonderful decorations that we have today, and the colors of the flags of the nations of the world. As we look to our time of prayer together, I want to lift up in a special way several names. Please be in prayer, continue to be in prayer for Joyce Bartless, for Ken Flincham, Jimmy Wade, who is at home now recovering, Spence Haygood, who was briefly in the hospital this past week, Elizabeth Scott, who remains in the hospital recovering, for Pauline Wilson, who is recovering from surgery, Ray Ballantyne, Jason Ballantyne's father, recovering from surgery, and John Tidwell, who is here today but was briefly in the hospital through the weekend. We also rejoice and give thanksgiving for new church members we welcome today by transfer, as noted in the bulletin, Orlin and Evelyn Stimsey. Let us take our prayers together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, throughout the whole world and across every time zone, people who claim the name of Christ are keeping the feast as you commanded. Language becomes no barrier, color no impediment, nationality secondary when we see the bread broken for our brokenness, the wine poured out for our forgiveness. Unite this church, Lord, we pray, in the things that matter. Unite us in our sense of need of your love and grace. Unite us in our desire to grow nearer to you and to each other. Unite us as forgiven people who seek the power to forgive one another. Lord, give us glad and generous hearts to reach out in the name of Jesus Christ, to embrace and uphold the stumbling and forgotten, and give us thankful hearts that know what you have done for us and what we can do for others to share our hope. Father, let the seed of faith and the potential of growth be unleashed here through your Holy Spirit, and use your servants to do so, we pray. And now, Lord, we do pray our silent prayers for each other, for ourselves, and for guidance for the difficult decisions we make, for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for those who are uncertain about the outcome of illness, for those who have uncertainties and doubt in their faith, in their relationships, their family, their marriages. Lord, hear now in this holy moment our sincere prayers as we lift them up in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. invite the other children forward who were not a part of this particular anthem for children's time with Angela Rowland.
And others. The way that he loves us. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to love everybody, especially people that have been mean to us. And Jesus knew this. And so he sent a little helper that lives inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us about Jesus and what's right. And he teaches us what we need to do. And he teaches us how to love everybody, even the mean ones. The Holy Spirit is like a hug from God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I love you and want to obey you. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to help me. Amen.
us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and enough for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
God's word through the gospel lesson, the gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Before the sermon, I want to announce that the communion bread today is in the form of unleavened bread that was made with pure hearts and clean hands by our first graders and their teachers. It will be used for communion today. So it's a little different bread than we are used to, but the children are participating, especially proud of that, and I hope that we all enjoy that participation. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this is not the only place in Scripture that the mustard seed is mentioned, but it is interesting. It comes in a place where the disciples say, "Increase our faith." What is mustard seed faith? What is all that about? I think it means at least a little belief in God, at least a little living out of that belief, and at least a little thankfulness for what God has done for us. And sometimes we do have only a very little of each. And I want to share with you a story that did not go over very well this morning. We'll see if you listen more carefully than they did. It's the saddest and the funniest and the truest story I think I've ever heard about our relationship to God. One day, a mother and her 8-year-old daughter were walking along the beach by the seashore, and all of a sudden a huge wave came up and engulfed the daughter and drug her out to sea, and there was no sign of her. And the woman immediately started screaming and shaking her fist at the heavens and said, "Lord, this is my only daughter, and I can have no other children. She's the love of my life. If you return her to me, I will serve you all my days." And then all at once, another big wave, and her daughter was deposited right there on the beach, safe and sound. And the mother looked at her, and then gazed up at heaven and said, "She had a hat." No matter what God does for us, our belief, our faith, and our thankfulness tend to be mustard seed sized. The great gifts and the grand gestures come from God, and we respond with mustard seed-sized faith, and maybe that's okay. Every relationship has to start somewhere, and faith, for most of us, starts small, like a seed. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, where he uses a seed as the analogy of this life, and then on to the next by saying that the seed you bury in the ground is nothing like the plant which comes up. And unless you are a botanist or one of our master gardeners, you can scarcely guess just by looking at a puny little seed what it is that will come up when you plant it in good soil. The seed is transformed into something entirely new and wonderful, and such is faith. Even small, dim, insignificant faith can make things happen, can grow into something you cannot imagine and bear fruit that you would never guess. Now, none of us, I don't believe, has ever seen a burning bush from which God spoke, or heard a voice booming from heaven, or seen laws written in rock. But we all have experienced something, and that is why we're here. There is buried within us, echoing in our souls and almost unnoticed, but always there, still small voice. A seed planted in our consciousness that life was meant for more than this. There is indeed something lacking in my life, something the world cannot give, something which cannot be bought or owned, but only God can give us. Faith grows up and out of this implanted, still, small voice. Faith grows up and out of the thankfulness for what God has done and is doing in our lives. Faith is this time of year, too often we talk about faith as raising money for budgets. That's not it. Faith is about raising our consciousness to see that life is more than money, and more than tears, and more than years, and then we die. Life, our life, is made to be in relationship with God and to echo out God's love and our thankfulness to others. Faith starts small. And faith can be infected with doubts. The disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith." Real doubts. And sometimes there can be self-serving doubts. I think we know the difference. There are real doubts and struggles and crises. And then there are the manufactured doubts that we use to serve ourselves rather than God. I believe that we all know the difference. We have reason to believe in, to trust in, and to be thankful to God. But it cost us time. It cost us treasure. It cost us talent to respond. So some of us, some of the time, manufacture reasons why we need not worship, need not give, and need not serve with thankful hearts. Our faith is still there in the background, but small and still a seed, not yet transformed into what it shall be. John Wesley, we read in his diaries, had real doubts, but he served and he preached and he did for God just as if he had none. He did not let himself off the hook in any way just because he struggled with doubt. Even this tiny mustard seed faith he had was enough to convince him that the purpose of life was to serve God rather than his own wandering desires. He lived and worked and gave to build up God's kingdom, not his own. And so he kept serving until his cold heart grew warm and his faith was transformed from a potential thing into a real and vital thing. The seed within you, which you cannot ignore forever, is felt as a God-given hunger for meaning. You may not experience that hunger for meaning as a gift, because God will, if you have not found out by now, God will disappoint you with one thing after another until you are led to a crisis where you must choose who to trust, who to serve. And answer the question, will it be God, or will it be someone or something smaller? It is just that hunger for meaning, which in itself is a kind of faith, that hunger which disappoints us in things and possessions and prestige until we eventually find ourselves at God's feet on our knees and we say, "Okay, I give up. Take my life and let it be, as the hymn says, consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. Take me," as the Old Testament imagery says, "as a potter takes the clay and make me, mold me into something wonderful and new." The mere seed of faith is enough to set us on a journey toward God. But when faith takes root and grows, it changes us. Only you can answer the question, am I changing? If nothing you have read or heard or done has lifted your heart up to God and given you a certain lightness and sense of freedom and compassion for others and a desire to give and forgive, if your faith does not do these things for you, what good is it? Wesley said, that sort of potential faith is like painted fire. It gives no warmth. Real faith gives real relationship up to God and out to others. It lives out your thankfulness to God. Small faith, painted fire, doing it even before you feel it, though it is a kind of faith, though a small one. God can and has done great things through people who had only the smallest sort of faith, but were willing to act on even that. No better recent example can be had of that than Mother Teresa. She left letters showing doubts and fears, but she never let her doubts and fears stop her from acting on the little faith she had growing within her. She never used her doubts or fears as an excuse to do nothing. It is astounding if you've read some of her letters or communications. Just 11 weeks before receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, she said to a priest, "Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear." Other letters reveal that for the last 50 years of her life, she felt very little presence of God. But she continued to work among the poor and the sick in Calcutta, determined that they should be loved before they die. And yet she wrote while doing it, "So many unanswered questions live within me, afraid to uncover them because of the blasphemy. If there be a God, please forgive me. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convincing emptiness that those very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul." And she wrote again later, "Please pray especially for me, that I may not spoil his work, that I may not spoil his work, and that our Lord may show himself, for there is such terrible darkness within me, as if everything were dead. It has been like this more or less from the time I started the work." She asked others to pray for her to the God, and she prayed to the God she doubted. Even in that doubt, there was faith. A year after those words, she wrote, "Such deep longing for God, and repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal, saving souls holds no attraction, heaven means nothing. Pray for me, please, that I keep smiling at him in spite of everything." Faith, overcoming doubt and emptiness. The disciples' request was, "Increase our faith in Jesus," and my reading doesn't seem to really answer their request. I wish Jesus had given the disciples a 3-point program or a 12-step process to get from where we are to where we ought to be. He did not. But he did promise, as the children's sermon mentioned today, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, would be present with us to lead us on and to give us comfort as we struggle and grow. We are not alone. He did not promise instant and complete faith, but he did say, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, amazing things can happen through us. Faith, the size of a mustard seed, can change reality. And it has changed reality through the likes of doubting but thankful Wesley, doubting but thankful Mother Teresa. Don't worry so much about how much faith you have. Concentrate on being faithful. Faith is not so much something you have as it is something you live. Why? Because deep in your heart, you have that God-given dissatisfaction that there must be something more. Life was not intended to be so disconnected, so empty. Deep in your heart, you hear that still small voice persistently telling us there is something more than accumulating things until we die. Deep within, we know we were made for a relationship that lasts. We were made to be in relationship with God and to live out our thankfulness with others, with compassion in a thankless world. How much does God want us? And how far will God go to show us how much he loves us? Here on the altar. Here is meaning. God loved you this much. The body and blood of his Son Jesus Christ, God gave you the need, God gave you the seed, and God gave you himself. Now, how will you respond? Please don't wait for the perfect feeling or for the perfect faith. Act on the faith that you have. On this World Communion Sunday, we recognize that God is at work in the world for good, even among those who at the moment don't realize it or don't feel a certainty of faith. We seek to hear the Word of God for our time, for our place, even though it may disturb and unsettle us. It may cost us time, talent, treasure, because we believe that God's purposes will lead us beyond ourselves and create new life that we could not otherwise imagine. Amen. I ask you to turn to page 12 and your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us pass the peace, and afterwards I'll ask my servers to please come forward. Let us pass the peace. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now we will be serving. We will ask you to kneel today, to come up. The ushers will have you come forward at just the right number at a time, with the choir being served first.
Said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who comes to me shall not thirst. Arise and go in peace, and may the bread of heaven nourish your soul into everlasting life. the vine. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Arise and go in peace, and in his service may you find perfect freedom. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so be my disciples. And go in peace, and may the glory of your life be the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Arise and go in peace, and may your abundant life in Christ overflow in deeds of love and service. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Arise and go in peace, and may by your fruits all men know that you are disciples of our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Arise and go in peace, and may the true light shine into your mind with the knowledge of the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." Shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, so there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Arise and go in peace, and may the voice of the good shepherd be your comfort in sorrow and your guide in happiness. Amen. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Arise and go in peace, and may be by being spent in the service of Christ, may you find the source of rich and abundant life." Amen.
Receive now this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the presence in this moment of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing in Jesus' name.